Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Eric Crocker, the Locked On 49ers podcast, our ESPN 1320 analyst. Crocky, what's happening, baby?
What's good with y'all? And real quick, I got to give a shout-out to Warrior World, man, for the second free 49ers t-shirt, man. Shout-out to Warrior World.
Yeah, big ups to Warriors World, man. We be having beef during the basketball season, but we on the same. We be having that Macho Man handshake when 49ers season come around, man.
Yeah.
By the way, Crocky, you made a reference to the Undertaker and Paul Bearer and the urn on last night's Locked On 49ers, and I popped for that. I was like, oh, Crocky, one of us. Crocky, one of us.
Hey, man, that's Daniel Brunskill, man. I feel like every time he got to play against Aaron Donald, it's like Paul Bearer come out of nowhere with the urn, like,
he had Brunskill coming out of a casket.
Daniel Brunskill, he just pops up from the dead, man, and he's ready to go, and he plays his best football against Aaron Donald.
So Crocky, like, let's start there. Let's use Aaron Donald and just morph that to him personally, but also morph it into the Rams' whole dynamic going against the 49ers. Why do they have no answers against the 49ers? They have no answers against the Niners, it seems like, almost ever, except for one quarter. And then Aaron Donald, one of the greatest players to ever play the game, he never really disrupts what the 49ers do except for that one quarter last February. Like, what is that all about? Like, they dominate the Rams.
It's got to do something with the game. It has to do with the scheme, the game plan, maybe putting a little bit more attention towards him, sliding protection, chipping him. Whatever it is working. And it kind of worked against him. You saw a guy slide last night on one of the first, I want to say maybe the second drive, but it was an early throw by Jimmy Garoppolo. Everybody slid left, and nobody just blocked him. They came in clean and got a hit on the quarterback. That was the only time Jimmy Garoppolo got hit for the entire game. So I don't know exactly what it is that they're doing. I'd have to talk to an offensive line specialist, but I'm pretty sure the rest of the league would want to know the recipe on that because they do well against him.
Yeah. That offensive line was heavily criticized headed into the season. There was a lot of concern around them. What has been your feelings on that offensive line so far this season?
You know, I think they got two rookies playing, one at right guard with Spencer Burford and one at left guard with Aaron Banks. And not to say Aaron Banks, he's not a rookie, but, you know, this is first, like, extensive playing time that he's had. And I think within that, you go through growing pains. I think we've seen more from Spencer Burford in the sense of it's really more the mental things, right? And y'all can attest to this playing in sports. The coaches, they can actually deal with, like, kind of the physical mistakes. If you mess up on the play here and there, they hate mental mistakes. And I think Burford, maybe he has had a little bit too many mental mistakes, but that's part of the process of learning, development, and he continues to be out there. They started to have some kind of little rotation with Burford and the Undertaker, a.k.a. Daniel Brunskill, but I think overall, we've seen Burford do a solid job, and for the most part, they kept the quarterback clean last night. I think they're continuing to take strides in the right direction. So a lot of people really down on the offensive line after the Broncos game. I think as the season grows along and they continue to build that continuity, they'll continue to get better and better each week.
Crocky, I want to shift the focus to the other side of the ball because, I mean, I'm trying not to jump out the window. I don't speak in hyperbole often. We're 4 weeks into the season. But damn, this defense is crazy. They are crazy. They are elite on all three levels. Crocky, just break down what we're seeing right now from this defense. Why are they so top flight? Why are they so elite in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think each level is playing extremely good complementary football. So you look at the pass rush. Obviously, they help the secondary and how long they have to cover. But then you look at the second level, and they handle their business and coverage as well. So everybody understanding their responsibilities. You know, a lot of people are kind of worried about going from Robert Saleh to D'Amico Ryans. But I talked about a man like D'Amico Ryans – he has been with this team as long as they've been with the 49ers or this regime. So when Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh and those guys got here in 2017, well, D'Amico Ryans got there in 2017 as well. He was just a linebacker coach. But I'd assume him being a linebacker coach, Robert Saleh being a linebacker coach, right? That was his background. He's in every single meeting with Robert Saleh. He knows exactly how Robert Saleh thinks. He's been in every one of those meetings. And I think you see the transition, and everybody's going to sprinkle their own little things that they like based on their experiences and whatnot. But D'Amico Ryans has done a masterful job of that, and he's getting everybody going. Everybody's on the same page. And I think that's when you see the best football. Now, I, like you, I've been kind of, it's like, man, I see it. I see how great they are and how well they're playing. But you look at it week one, it's like, okay, you got Chicago Bears. They're struggling offensively against everybody, and it was a monsoon. All right, we'll see what happens. Then you play against, the Seattle Seahawks. And at that time, you could say, oh, man, it's Geno Smith. This is Seahawks. You know, they're kind of lacking right now. So maybe you make an excuse for that, even though they just put up 48 points against the Lions. But at the time, it's like, okay, maybe it's just the Seahawks and Geno Smith. Then you do it against Russell Wilson, and you're like, all right. But, oh, you know what? They haven't even scored more than 16 points in the game. And then you do it against the Rams. And I think now that lets you know, all right, at some point this defense is for real. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting to see how it's all come together. And you got a couple more weeks coming up, not to skip over games, but between the Panthers and the Falcons. And I think you get to continue to fine-tune things and kind of see what you have leading into that game against Kansas City.
Yeah. No plays over 20 yards last night. No touchdowns for the Los Angeles Rams, who are known for that offense. They could not get it going. Part of the reason they couldn't is because of Hufanga. Part of the reason they couldn't do is that defense that you were just talking about. You made a face when I mentioned Hufanga's name, man. He might be the most popular dude in a 49ers uniform right now, Crocky.
There were a lot of people that were excited when 49ers drafted him. And I'm like, man, I see some of the things he does, but man, step slow on film. You know, can he play faster? If not, he's going to have to play faster from a mental standpoint. And I think he's lost weight from his time playing with USC. He was more around 215, maybe even a few pounds heavier than that. He slimmed down to 200 pounds just to run a 4.61. And I was thinking, well, if he slimmed down to around 200 to run a 4.61, is he going to put that weight back on so he could be more of what they thought they were drafting? And then is that going to make him be a little bit slower? Well, it looks like he's still around 200 pounds. He's running fast. Last night, he hit 21 miles per hour on the GPS. That's extremely fast. So it's a guy that's really moving. And on top of him being able to run, he plays a step ahead mentally as well. They say he's a student of the game. He studies extremely well. I know going to training camp practices, he was consistently the first person out there on the field every single day. I think one time somebody beat him. I think it was like Hokic or whatever, the fullback. But he's always the first person out there. So he takes his craft extremely serious. He trains with Troy Polamalu. And right now, 49ers, the fans, the coaching staff, they're seeing the benefits of that.
The things that I like with Hufanga, he's got the Holy Trinity, I like to call it, is an athlete, right? I don't want to take away from what he has as just an athlete. Like, he's very good. He works hard at his craft physically, and he can do that. But he has, like you just mentioned, he studies the game. He studies his opponents. So he does his homework, and he understands what that is all about and what he has to do with that. But then he has the things, at least to me, that it feels like you just can't teach. He has certain instincts. The pick last week, that was an instinct thing. That wasn't, you could probably say that was some film work too, but that was also just understanding the game and understanding, oh, I'm supposed to be switching. It's a screen. Oh, let me jump. This instincts that you can't teach, that you can't even study in film, in my opinion. Is that accurate when you see Hufanga, where he has the physical tools for sure? He does his homework, but then there's another notch where he just has a feel for the game that can't be taught.
Man, there are some guys that are just born to make plays, and they just have a knack, and I think they just have those natural instincts. Now, some of it can be learned through tape and film, but some guys that just happen to always be around the ball, and this was Hufanga at USC as well. You look back to his last year, he was taking the ball away. He was around the line of scrimmage. He was making plays. All the things you're seeing him do with the 49ers right now, he did do at USC that last year there, and there was a lot of changeover with the coaching staff and whatnot, so he played in different defenses, but that last year, it felt like it all came together. I think you're seeing that right now. And there's another guy that the 49ers have who I'm like, you know what? Like, can we get this guy on the field because he's a playmaker as well, and that's Samuel Womack. So that's another guy who I feel like no matter how you have to do it, okay, there was a little lapse against the run game or whatever the issues were that made him, I guess, get benched for Diamador Lenore, who's actually playing extremely well. But you got to get those guys that take away the ball on the field. Womack was involved in 4 takeaways in the preseason, 2 interceptions, another interception where he batted the ball in the air and somebody picked it off, and then a fumble recovery on special teams. And then he comes in the game against the Denver Broncos, punches a ball out, right? The Broncos end up recovering it, but those guys, they just have a knack for it. Womack has it, and I believe Talanoa Hufanga has it as well.
Talking about playmakers, I'm going to give you the option here, Crocky. This playmaker, you could pick one, stays healthy the entire year. Nothing happens to him, doesn't miss a play. But you can only pick one. Debo or Bosa?
Debo.
Oh, okay. Crocky gave that one a lot of thought.
Listen, the 49ers, they're hanging their hat on the defense right now. And definitely, I mean, we see what Nick Bosa does. He is amazing. I would say in any other situation, I'd be like, there's no way in hell I take a receiver over an impactful edge rusher who's the most productive edge rusher in the game right now. Mm-hmm. But Debo Samuel is kind of carrying this offense. Mm-hmm. And as well as the 49ers played, at least what it looked like, and you got the win and you put up 24 points. Well, the offense only put up 17. Mm-hmm. And seven of those came off Debo Samuel just being Debo Samuel, right? Mm-hmm. And just the, you know, to have a guy out there where you could just get the ball in the hands of him and just say, hey, man, just go make a play, please, for us. Please do something for our offense. He does that. I don't want to say being critical of the offense, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer or anything like that, but it's kind of struggling right now.
Yeah.
And if you look at their points per game, not very high. You look at what they've done in the second halves of games. I mean, even last night in a huge win, great, great win. You scored 3 points in the second half. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not ideal. So I think that Debo Samuel is extremely important to this offense. And I don't want to envision the 49ers offense without Debo Samuel right now. Now, maybe they start to click and everybody starts hitting on all cylinders and we're seeing more explosive plays from everybody, whether it's George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings doesn't drop a pass, whatever it is. Right. Ray McLeod takes a screen to the house, whatever. But right now, man, that offense, if they don't have Debo Samuel, I don't want to know what that looks like right now.
I feel you. We didn't get a chance to speak last week, but I don't know. You might have saw my thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo last week. I think you echoed the same thoughts that I had on Jimmy Garoppolo. I seen every game he played with the 49ers. That was the worst game he's ever played with the 49ers in Denver. And I was very disappointed to see that. Bounced back on Monday Night Football. Wasn't outstanding. Wasn't spectacular. But he did his job. He made, more importantly to me, he didn't turn the ball over. Do you think that is a recipe for success with this team moving forward, or do you need Jimmy to turn his play up a little bit and actually make some plays? Is it going to be good enough with this defense and with maybe a playmaker like Debo, and if they ever find George Kittle in the offense again, is it going to be good enough for Jimmy just to not turn the ball over and keep the chains moving?
I think it would be good enough until it's not. Right. And right now, everybody's expectation, everybody in the chat right now, everybody listening on the radio, their expectations are, hey, man, we want to see the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Right. You got Jimmy Garoppolo there. He's supposed to be ready to go. You got these weapons. You got this Super Bowl ready defense. Right. So if that's the expectations, then the offense just has to be better. We've seen this team be carried by the defense. And then what happens? Hey, offense, we need you to make a play. And Debo already made the play. So can somebody else come through? And in the biggest of moments, again, which what is the expectations of this team, you fell flat. You had a 10-point lead or whatever in the Super Bowl against Kansas City Chiefs, and you needed to make a play offensively. Just make one play. Just that play. Could not do it down the stretch, right? You relied on your defense to only give up 10 points to that point, and then all of a sudden when, you know, things start going the other way, offense, can you do something? They couldn't do it. You need your quarterback to be a little bit better. You need your players to be a little bit better. We saw it in the Rams game, 49ers, 10-point lead late in the game. What happens? Offense, can you please make a play? Debo already made a play for you. Mm-hmm. Took a screen to the house, 50 yards, broke hella tackles, ran in for a touchdown. Can somebody just make a play? And it starts, I feel like, with the quarterback position. So as it pertains to Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll give him the pass of he didn't play in preseason. He didn't have he didn't play in training camp. He didn't have a playbook. All those things definitely go against him, right? So I'll give you a mulligan for last week, and I'll give him time to really kind of settle in. I think my biggest issue is, I feel like what we've seen so far, at least the recipe for how the 49ers want to win right now, which is, and Kyle Shanahan made it clear when he decided to kick the field goal as opposed to go for the touchdown, he is banking on this defense carrying them. And I don't like that recipe. Now, maybe he feels like that's how he has to play with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. And hey, we've won a lot of games like that. So, okay, let's keep it going. But I don't think, as it pertains to winning it all, you can hang your hat on that, because you need everything to be perfect. Yep. And that is extremely difficult. Cool. We need more from the quarterback position. Hopefully, Jimmy Garoppolo, as the season goes on, they get a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And come postseason, he's really ready to go.
Last thing, Crockett, you know, you mentioned struggling offenses. They got the Panthers coming up. They got the Falcons coming up. It's talked about amongst fans a lot. It's talked about amongst media in those trap games, those games where you could really get caught slipping. Is that something that comes up in a locker room? Do you guys discuss that? Like, hey, we know we're going against a team that is struggling really, really bad right here, but we've got to stay focused on what we're doing.
I think that is something that can naturally happen. Like, you just kind of relax a little bit, right? And the best of coaches are able to get the guys to not relax during that moment. Back in the day, back in my day, I won a championship with the San Jose Sabercats. And we lost one game all year, right? We were dominant. We had probably the best players, but we were extremely well coached. We were extremely disciplined. That one game we lost was to the worst team in the league, the LA Kiss. And it was in overtime. It was a game that we had no business losing. But you kind of relax a little bit, and then it happens. You're like, dang, how'd that happen? I think that might have been the 49ers against the Bears. Maybe the elements had a lot to do with that. I think when you look on your schedule, and it's like, man, we just knocked off the defending Super Bowl champs. And, okay, we got to go to Carolina. They've been getting their butts kicked. Man, we got to go to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're whatever. Kyle will have those guys ready to go, but I think you got to dominate, and it has to look a certain way. A win is a win, right? People be like, a win is a win. A win is a win, sure. But if the 49ers are going to be who we want them to be, I think you have to go out there and just really impose your dominance on those teams, where it's like, y'all not in the same league as us. We are hoping for a Super Bowl. Y'all hoping to just win a couple games this year. So a win is a win. I'll take whatever happens, but you definitely want to get going to where you play against the Chiefs and you're clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
209's finest, Locked On 49ers podcast. Crockett, we appreciate you as always, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.